The conflict in Yemen takes a bloody and ominous turn. An E. coli outbreak sickens hundreds of people in Europe. Republicans are starting to chafe at the attention the media lavishes on Sarah Palin and Donald Trump. And a classic New York character, the Korean greengrocer, is becoming an endangered species. I'm Pat Lyons with a preview of the front page of Thursday's New York Times. In our lead article, Robert Wirth and Nasser Arabi report that the conflict in Yemen has edged closer to a full-blown civil war. The fighting has spread to new parts of the country, and government troops are waging increasingly bloody street battles in the capital. The authoritarian government of President Ali Abdullah Saleh is beset on all sides. It's fighting Islamist militants in the south, hostile tribes in the east and the north, and protesters everywhere. What was once a largely peaceful uprising has become a chaotic tribal conflict with no clear end in sight. The United States and Yemen's Arab neighbors, who tried and failed to mediate, are now reduced to watching events unfold from afar. One Yemeni official told The Times that the fighting on Wednesday was the worst in the country since 1994, when Yemen was convulsed by a two-month civil war. Tanks and armored cars were rolling into the capital from the south on Wednesday, possibly in preparation for an offensive to crush rebel forces in the Hasaba district, the scene of most of the recent fighting in the capital. But there were signs that the troops loyal to Ali Mohsin al-Ammar, a powerful renegade general, were starting to help opposition tribesmen fight the president's elite Republican Guard. That raised the specter of a much wider war. Europe is in an uproar over an outbreak of E. coli. A virulent strain of the bacterium has sickened more than 1,500 people and killed at least 15 in Germany and one in Sweden, and health officials are struggling to identify the cause. Outbreaks of E. coli are often traced to contaminated food. Since heat destroys the bacteria, undercooked meat or raw produce are often the culprits. Food inspectors did find some E. coli on cucumbers from Spain, but it was not the really nasty strain that has been making some people gravely ill by shutting down their kidneys. Still, the news prompted consumers in many European countries to shun raw vegetables, especially those grown in Spain, and that has disrupted trade across the continent. Judy Dempsey and James Cantor report in The Times that Spanish farmers are leaving crops to rot in the fields because of all the canceled orders, and an agriculture official in Andalusia called the situation there a complete disaster. North China is dying of thirst, but the government's plans to bring it water from the south may only spread the pain. Ed Wong of The Times writes from Danjiangkou in Hubei province, the starting point for one of the three huge canals that China is building to divert 6 trillion gallons of water a year from the Yangtze Basin. Mr. Wong writes that the human cost of the project is staggering. Just to make way for one of the three canals, 350,000 villagers are being relocated, often to low-grade farmland in places far from their old homes. The environmental cost may also be huge. Diverting so much water may wreck the ecology in the south, which is struggling with a drought of its own. And it may leave the southern source rivers as badly polluted as the Yellow River in the north, which can no longer be used for drinking water. Pollution along the way is a huge problem, too. Nearly half the budget for the Eastern Canal is going into building more than 400 new sewage treatment plants. Out on the campaign trail, mainstream candidates like Tim Pawlenty are trying to work the hustings in the serious traditional way, meeting with voters and talking policy and getting no attention. Jeff Zeleny reports from Iowa on the mounting frustration in Republican circles that celebrity non-candidates like Sarah Palin and Donald Trump are hogging the media spotlight. Over the holiday weekend, the cat-and-mouse game between Ms. Palin and the scrum of camera crews who were chasing her tour bus all over the Northeast made it hard for Mr. Pawlenty to get any traction at all as he talked earnestly about budgets and health care with small knots of voters in Lamar's and Orange City, Iowa, and pitched in to help fill sandbags in Sioux City. Mr. Zeleny writes that while it's too soon to tell whether the media frenzy and celebrity culture has made the old road to the nomination obsolete, Republican Party activists say that the presidential race needs to be treated much more seriously than it has been so far, inside the party and out. For decades, Korean greengrocers have embodied a classic New York type, the immigrant entrepreneur, and their stores have been fixtures on countless street corners. But now Sam Dolnick writes in The Times that their ranks are thinning. Partly, it's because of the same pressures that face many other mom-and-pop businesses in the city, like rising rents, stiffer competition, and stepped-up scrutiny from city regulators. But there's another factor at work, too: generational change and success climbing the American ladder. Many Korean immigrants got into the business in the 70s, 80s, and 90s specifically to give their American-raised children a better life. The last thing these parents want was for the kids to be stuck in the family business, toiling 6 or 7 long days a week the way they had. Once the kids are grown, the stores have served their purpose and the owners are closing up and selling out. Pyeonggap Min, a Queens College sociologist who studies the industry, says that in 1995, the city had about 2,500 Korean green groceries, but the number may have fallen by as much as a quarter since then. As Yoon Suk Mang, a 52-year-old grocer in Flatbush who was thinking of selling her store, told Mr. Dolnick, everybody is leaving. FIFA, the international governing body for soccer, circled the wagons against a swirl of scandal and re-elected its longtime president, Sepp Blatter. John Branch and Jerry Longman report in the Times that the scene in Zurich took on the air of a coronation, with Mr. Blatter running unopposed and being hailed with bouquets of flowers, triumphal music, and a standing ovation. FIFA has faced a string of bribery accusations, at least one involving Mr. Blatter personally, in connection with the way FIFA chooses sites for future World Cup tournaments. And there have been claims that officials have enriched themselves by diverting some of the billions of dollars that FIFA takes in for television rights to the World Cup matches. Though the trouble surfaced on his watch, Mr. Blatter's been president of FIFA since 1998, he insists that he is the man to fix what's wrong, and he denies charges of wrongdoing. For his next term, he's proposed reforms to the World Cup site selection process and the way FIFA chooses members of its ethics committee. And that's a preview of Thursday's New York Times. For more on these and other stories, pick up a copy of the paper or visit nytimes.com. From the New York Times newsroom, I'm Pat Lyons.